It gives me a great honor and also delight to be used of God to communicate His word to us this day. Now, what's the purpose of this discussion? The reason why we are engaging in this discussion is because it is only when we have the ideal revelation that when we can be able to live a fulfilling life. In discovering identity, you are able to discover who you are. But please, knowing who you are is not enough to live a life that is fulfilling. It is not enough to just know who you are. It is not enough to come into understanding of who you are. Talking about your essential self. Talking about your personality. Talking about the graces you have in Christ. That knowledge in itself is not an end. That knowledge is a means to an end. And the question of why I exist is the question of the end, the reason. The word purpose means the reason why a thing exists. What are the reasons we are created? For what reason did God create us? Number one, God created man so that true man, who he is, will be visibly seen. If you now go back to that Ephesians 1, you will now see the prayer Apostle Paul prayed that you might come to the revelation of him. The second reason he created us is so that we will be the attention of God's loveliness. You now see the next verse, the hope of his calling. Then number three, he now said, we will not be the expression of God's loveliness. That is through us. If you read Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 12, from verse 10 to 12, now said, to show to the principalities and powers his manifold wisdom. 1 Peter 2:5 now says, we are lively stone being built up as a holy habitation for God. We are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. To what? To show forth. Glory to God. So say it with me. I am created to be the expression of God's loveliness. I am created to be the attention of God's loveliness. I was created to be the extension of His love. Let's begin to check out those things from scriptures now. Man is the perfect expression of God's love. Let's turn our Bible to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make human being in our own image to be like ourselves. That's how the NLT put it. Let's check the Message Bible. He said, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. How many of you know that one of the major and obvious visible thing we see when a father gives birth to a child is that the child carries the resemblance of the father? So the reason we give birth is to have our kind. The Bible says making them producing fruit or producing seeds after their kind. The reason you were created is because God has an identity. He has a nature. He has a personality. And he wouldn't want that personality to only be felt by the heavenly beings, by angels, and by those that serve him in his throne. So he now taught that for me to say I am love, because the valid nature of God that we see in scriptures from Genesis up to the life we are living now, and I'm going to show you from some scriptures too, is that God is love. So he created man to be an expression of that love. Let us make human beings reflecting our nature. So God is love. And that's why I said it, and I will keep saying it. There can be no fulfillment outside of new birth in this phase. If any man is not born again, he can never discover purpose. Let me say this. For you to live, you need to be born. But for you to be fulfilled, you must be born again. Because John 4, verse 24, the Bible says, God is a spirit. It is purpose that determines design. So you can see it from scriptures. The reason why you are a spirit is because God is a spirit. And every of his personality, every of his attribute, every of his characteristics are tied to the fact that God is a what? Is a spirit. So that's the reason why in Genesis chapter 2 verse 7, after he formed man from the dust, he breathed into man the breath of life. And that was a channel, that was a conduit for man to have fellowship with him. So that was where man became a spirit that has a body that also has a soul. I was meditating on it this morning, and this is what I came up with. By our spirit, we assess God's love, because man is the attention of God's love. So by our spirit, we assess the love. By our soul, we internalize the love. And in our body, we express it out. That's why the scripture says that if you have faith and it does not manifest itself in love, it is dead. Faith without works is dead. You have faith. Faith is spiritual, isn't it? You believe in Christ, you receive his spirit. It transforms his soul. And what does it do? It manifests itself in what? In love. The three content of the man is designed to carry out the purpose of God. Purpose number one, you are the expression of God's love. Who is God? Matthew 5, verse 45. The Bible says, in that way, you will be acting as true children of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the good and the evil, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you read from verse 43, he was talking about you loving others. So who is God? God is the Father of love. He is love himself. His love is the source of love. The reason why God created man, he sat down and he realized, how can I say I have love? Love that is not expressed. Love that does not give something. Is that love? In his heart, he now said, oh, since I am God and I am the Father of love, love can never be complete until there are children to benefit from it. That's why I created you. Glory to God. You are the son of a loving father. Say it with me. I am the son of a loving father. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. The Bible says, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Verse 13. God showed, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. The reason you were created is because God wants to justify his loveliness. This is life. The day you come into this reality, the entire foundation of your life will be set in the right course. Lamentations chapter 3 verse 22. We have been singing this verse over and over again, right from where we're growing up. The Bible says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His life is tied to his loveliness. Glory to God. Knowing who God is an essential foundation to fulfilling purpose. Anyone that relates with God outside the revelation of his loveliness will only struggle to fulfill his purpose. He said, his steadfastness never ceases. His faithful love never ends. His mercies never ceases. Do you know why they will never cease? That is the entirety of his personality. That's who he is. You cannot define God outside of his love nature. God is love. The reason why he created man, man is an expression of that his nature. Do you understand? The reason you were created is because God wants to show the entire seen and unseen realm that he's a loving God. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. Jeremiah 31 verse 3. I like that verse of scripture. He said, long ago, the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. The plan and purpose of God is tied to the revelation of his loveliness. The plan and purpose of God is tied to the revelation of his loveliness. Man is the valid evidence of a benevolent God. Man, you, put your name there. I am the evidence of a benevolent God. To show the principalities and powers how lovely God is, God created you. Are you following me? You will now see the reason why everything that God does, he does them on account of his love. The Bible was speaking in Exodus 2 that when God saw the cry of the children of Israel, scripture said he had compassion on them. Towards the ending of that verse. And he sent for Moses. The Bible says in John chapter 3 verse 16, for God so loved the world. In Exodus chapter 33, the Bible says Moses cried out to God, I think in verse 18. He said, Lord, show me your glory. And the Bible says in verse 19, God told Moses, no man is permitted to see my face and live. He said, but there is a part of me that is accessible to you. It is my goodness. For I will have mercy on whom I will. And I will show compassion on whom I will. So you must understand this, that the reason you were created is because God has a love nature he wanted to show out. Ah, glory to God. Man is the valid evidence of a benevolent God. He said, I will have mercy on anyone. The one that we all know very well. Ephesians 1, verse 4. Before the foundation of the earth. Glory to God. This is the reason you were created. There are only two battles that are raging for the soul of man. It is the battle of love and hate. As the two battles that are going on this earth. And it is only those that have come to the revelation knowledge of the love of God that can win that battle. Because everything that God does, he do them on account of his loveliness. That was the reason why one of the greatest kings in the Old Testament is King David. Any king that advanced in God's cause, Ezekiah also was a great king in the scriptures. God came and told him, you are dying. He negotiated extra 15 years on account of God's benevolence. Everyone that fulfilled a greater portion of God's plan and purpose is a man that came to that realization that I am the visible expression of a benevolent God. The Bible now said in Ephesians 1, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Our faultlessness before God is not because we merited it. Our faultlessness before God was because he predetermined it. That's the reason he created you. Glory to God. You know, oftentimes I listen to teachings and people say there was no grace in the Old Testament, that grace started in the New Testament. You are not correct. Grace only appeared in the New Testament. But in the Old Testament, men found it. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Men found grace. But we in the New Testament, we did not just find grace in God's heart. Grace has come to stay in us. So grace and mercy has been the foundation of all that God is doing from Genesis. If not for grace and mercy, by now the earth would have been destroyed. Genesis chapter 6. The Bible says, and God looked down and saw the wickedness of man from verse 5. But the Bible now says, I think verse 8 or thereabout, and Noah found grace in the sight of God. So let me say this to us. The reason why you have been created is so that God will expose his love to the earth. You are the practical expression of the loveliness of a benevolent God. Glory to God. There is another verse of scripture I want us to see. Romans chapter 8, verse 35. Especially verse 39. But let's start from verse 35. The Bible says, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love. Then go to verse 39. He now said, no power in the sky above or in the earth below indeed. Nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed. Did you see that? The eternal purpose and plan of God is to bring his love to practical revelation by the coming forth of his son. So now you will not see what Jesus was telling Pilate. John chapter 18 verse 37. He said, for this reason came I, to bear witness to the truth. Pilate asked a question. What is the truth? And let me give you the answer. The truth is the revelation of God's love in Christ. That is the definition of truth. The definition of truth is the revelation of God's love in Christ. Because that's the reason he created heaven and earth. Glory to God. So, Paul said in that Romans 8, verse 39, nothing. Jesus. God will not give up on man. Do you know why? That is the reason he created man. So that man will be the evidence that he is a what? He's a loving father. It's just like two children that are doing contest. You say, your daddy likes you. My daddy likes me more than he likes you. What are they trying to do? They are trying to put their father on show. But God now said, no. I'm not going to contest with the principalities and powers. I'm going to show them that I'm a loving God. And in doing that, he created you. So that's the reason why since the day you were created, Satan has been very angry. You don't know that's the reason why Satan is angry with you? We have preached legalism and law for too long. So we don't know why Satan is angry with people. People think that the reason why Satan is angry with you is because Satan has seen that you have a bright future. Let me tell you the reason why he's angry at you. Satan is angry at you because you are the attention of God's loveliness. He's paining him that God is lavishing this kind of love on you. That leads me to the number two reason you were created. You were created to be the attention of God's loveliness. That's the reason you were created. One of the revelations that shaped my entire life while I was going through some struggles was when God made me to realize that the reason why he created me is because he wants me to benefit from his lavish love. Number one is to express it. He wants people to see, principalities to see that he is a loving God. But the second reason now is that he wants you yourself to benefit from that love. The believer in Christ has been brought into a love affair with God. Direct. Romans chapter 5 verse 5. The Bible says, hope does not make ashamed. Do you know why? Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. I'll say this to you, and I would like you to go and do a search. Check. Everyone that amounted to anything positive in God's eternal plan in the Old Testament was the person that related with God on account of his benevolence. Go and read it. How did Rahab come into the lineage of Jesus? Was Rahab perfect? Was a prostitute that rescued the spies when they went to Jericho. Rahab. But you and I know, today, Rahab is in the lineage of Jesus. Go and read Matthew. Rahab is in the genealogy of Jesus. It was because Rahab had confidence in the unfailingness of God's love. You will never go far in this world if you doubt the level of love God has for you. As a matter of fact, listen to me, believers. One of the reasons why we are going through what we are going through is because the devil wants to use every means possible to make us to deny that God really loves us. That's what he's doing. I was meditating on something this morning. Why do people become atheists? Go and read the biography or the storyline of people that became atheists. Check. Some of them, their wife or their mother had cancer. An incurable disease. So they cried to God. Cried. And here the man died. The wife died or the son died. And they said, if God cannot save my child, that means there is no God. That's the same thing Satan is still doing to people. If God cannot give me a job, that means God is fake. If God cannot give me a car, that means Christianity is a scam. If God cannot give me a child, that means God is not real. But you fail to understand that's just the devil trying to make you to forget that there is a purpose. Many of the things the devil attacks, it's not that he's attacking those things directly. He's attacking your realization that you are a man on a mission. That there is a purpose you are created. So he knows that you love these things. So he uses the things you love to make you to deny the God that loves you. Can I say that again? The agenda of the devil is to use the things you love to make you deny the God that loves you. How much we have talked about working for God, but very few of us have learned about working in God. It is only when God has become a perfect representation of an unfailing Father, that's when you can go far. I like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had understanding of the love that God had for them. Satan will not do anything that will stop you from your progression in life until he makes you to doubt the authenticity of God's love for you. I'll say that again. Satan will never stop you from making progress in your path of destiny until he makes you to doubt the love that God has for you. And the reason many are doubting God's love for them is because they have not listened to teachings that expounds God's love to them. I was also meditating something earlier, and I was thinking, how come people so believe the law and the consequences that follows lawbreakers than they believe the undying love of God? How come? They believe so much in the judgment of God. I did not need to become born again before I started listening to Exodus 20 verse 5. That God will visit the iniquities of the father to the third, to the fourth and fifth generation. How come we keep talking about God's anger that is bought for a moment, but we fail to talk about his love that is for a lifetime? That's why I like Hill songs. They sang a song that I will never forget. He said, "A glimpse of your love, and I will sing about it for a billion years." A glimpse of your love. You were created to be the attention of God's love. Please don't allow what you are going through right now to distract you. Because those things, as far as God is concerned, they are not real. There is only one reality, brother. There is only one reality, sister. And that reality is that God's love for you is forever. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. The more you take root down into this understanding, the more you fulfill purpose. When I had that encounter some years ago, he said, "For too long, we have come to him so that we will get reward for his work." He said, "But only few have come to him so that they will understand the free things he has made available." And hear this. If you have not received from God, you cannot give. God is first a giver before he is a rewarder. I'll say that again. God is first a giver. God never demands a thing from a man he has not given. We have been taught so much to give, but only few teaches us to receive. And one of the major things you must position your heart to receive is to receive the love of God. The Bible says, "Hope does not make ashamed, because the love of God has been shared abroad in our heart." Please, do you know this? One of the reasons why any soul will be transformed is because the soul came in contact with the love of God. Give me the love of God and you will see transformation in my life. Many of us quote a verse of scripture from the day of John the Baptist. The kingdom of God suffered violence and the violence take it by force. That verse has been wrongly explained. That verse of scripture was trying to say, from the day the love of God was being preached, the multitude of men that were thronging in for salvation increased. Because nothing brings about change like the revelation of the love of God. You will see more changed lives in your congregation when you start teaching them who God is and God's love is. You see more change in their life. We have taught legality for too long. We have taught works for too long. We have been teaching people 5 steps on how to walk, 7 steps of how to have a great ministry. There is only 1 step I know in scripture, and that is the increase of your knowledge of the love of God. Apostle Paul says something, that the reason why we preach the word warning unbelievers is because we see the love of God and we see the terror that will follow if they don't get saved. If your motivation is not love, Forget it. Whatever you are doing will only be for self. The reason why God took away the law, because the law only showed man is flawed. But the reason why he brought the son, he said in Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, fix your eyes on him, because he is the author and the finisher of this love affair. Do you know that Christianity is a call to a love affair? Faith is a call to a love affair. You are made to be the attention of God's love. Do you know the implication of this? Open your heart to receive the love. Spread your hands to receive the love. Wrap yourself around that love. Everything that Jesus did on earth was motivated by his love. We read the story of the prodigal son, and the Bible makes us to understand that this son took his father's wealth, lavished it on riotous living. We think about the star of that story, and we think it is the boy that left. Can I tell you the truth? The star of that story is a loving father that spreads his hand wide, waiting for the day one of his lost folks will return back. Jesus said, there is great joy in heaven over a sinner that repents. Now, why does heaven rejoice when a sinner repents? Let me tell you the reason. The love of God is displayed in Matthew 5. The Bible says it shines it on both the evil and the good. But can I be real to you? God's love is not so that it will just shine it. God's love is so that you will feel it. God's love is so that you will experience it. God's love is so that you will receive it. It is as you fellowship with this love, you carry out purpose. Because the love of God revealed to man is not an end in itself, but a means to his end. So do you know what? If you are not born again, you can only hear about his love. You can even see his love being displayed in the lives of people. But it is only the day he sheds that love abroad in your heart by the giving of the Holy Spirit. Because that's the only time the enemy will not be able to condemn you. How many of you know that the law is condemnation? The Bible now said there is now no condemnation to any man that is in Christ. The reason you were created is so that you will be the attention of his love. The reason you were created is so that you will be the beneficiary. Listen to me, believers, and as many that are hearing me right now, everything that exists in heaven and earth is to display God's loveliness. The focus of God in his entire plan is you and Christ his son. You and Christ his son. It's unfortunate today that when we follow God, when we listen to teachings, we are looking at in the teaching, what can we gain? What are the things we gain? We listen to messages, and what we are looking at, how can this message put food on my table? How can this message make my barren womb to become open? How can this message pay my bills? How can this message make me find a husband? How can this message give me a job? Listen to me. All these things and many others shall be added unto you the day you receive the love of God. Jesus said in Matthew 11 verse 28, he said, come unto me all ye that labor and are laden with heavy loads. He said, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon me and learn of me. It is the knowledge of God's love that brings an end to your physical struggles. Jesus never called any man and solved their problem. Jesus called men and revealed the love of the Father to them. It is what you now do to the revelation of the Father's love you have received that will bring about a termination to the problems in your life. Your responsibility as a believer is to internalize the love of God. Glory to God. You should be coming to church to learn about the love of God. One of the tools for ministry is the revelation of the love of God. Why do you think so many people cannot preach the gospel? They can't preach the gospel because they have not experienced it. Good news means that you are telling people of the undying nature of God's love. That's only where they can have confidence. Say it with me. I position my heart to receive God's love. That's the reason you were created. That's the reason you were made. That is the reason he created you. Spend your entire life. You will not be able to exhaust the love of God for you. The prodigal son thought he had wasted it. So he was coming back. He said, let me just go and be a slave to eat. How many of you know that nothing has kept people in slavery mentality like the desire of what to eat? Desire of what to eat, what to wear. We reduce the loveliness of God to what to eat. Jesus was telling us in Matthew chapter 6, he said, do not care about what to eat. If you start reading from verse 25, he said, do not worry. One of the reasons people worry is because they don't know the love of God. That the reason you are about giving up your Christian faith is because you have not come into revelation of the love of God. This love is bodacious. The Bible says it is higher than your mind can imagine. The Bible says it is deeper than any man can search. The Bible says it is wider. You can't go around it. The love of God is too thick for a normal mind to comprehend. That's the reason why he now gave you his spirit. Now his spirit will they help you to assess and appropriate this love. I choose not to worry. Do you know why? He said, don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food, whether you have enough drink, whether you have clothes to wear. He said, isn't life? Life is more than what to wear. How? And I like the example he now gave in the next verse. What did he say there? Consider the birds. They're not the plant, though. They don't harvest. They don't even store food. He said, for your heavenly Father, what? Feeds them. Oh, Jesus. You know, every time Bible wants to talk about God as a provider, he always uses the term Father. Jesus. Every time scriptures want to talk about God as a provider, he always uses the word Father. And if you have ever been a father at any point in your life, you will know what I'm talking about. Your baby do not think of what to eat. The only thing is to sleep and chop. You are thinking of how our children will eat. So imagine, God is doing the same thing for you. And then you are not telling me that the reason why you were born is to suffer? No way. You are suffering because you have not had an encounter with the love of God. You see, one thing you must know is this. We were not created by God to earn his benevolence. I wrote it down this morning again. I'll say it again. God did not create us so that we will earn his loveliness. No man can earn God's loveliness. Do you know that? You can't earn it. People are teaching us to earn the love of God. You can't earn it. You can't. The love of God is as stationary as who he is. I will have mercy on whom I will. See, the day that understanding dawned on me, I started doing ministry from a place of rest. We bother ourselves too much. The Bible says Jesus went to the house of a woman one day. The woman was wondering of what to eat. And Jesus said, you are disturbed about too many trivialities. He said, one thing is needful. I say this to you, sister. I say this to you, brother. One thing is needful. Do you know it? Embrace the love of God. Say it. I embrace the love of God. The love of God became so much of a reality that Paul had to scream, shall we continue in sin? That grace may abide? No way! I hear people say, you know, sir, you need to wait for people to mature to a certain level before you teach them. If you teach them all this thing now, they will not take it for granted. Are you more trustworthy than the God that told us he loves us forever? Why are you trying to be smarter than God? It is your own mind that is making you to think that way. God has lavished his love. The way God loved the children of Israel. Sometimes I even wonder if we believer in this generation ever have seen God love people that way before. Go and read Psalm 78. God was lavishing so much love on them. He gave them manna. You don't chop angel food before. We are talking of people taking God's love for granted. Have you eaten angels' food before? They said they needed food. God gave them manna, angels' food. They don't need to have gas and stove. They just go outside, pack it and eat and sleep. Yet, God still kept loving them. How much more you that have the Holy Ghost, the regulator of life in you, and you are afraid that if people teach you the love of God in the purest form, they will go out and begin to do rubbish. That is because you don't trust God's love. The reason we have so many legalistic Christians today, we trust our efforts more than we trust God's love. We trust what we can do. We trust our labors. You know, the soul naturally like work. You go to someone. I remember someone was sick and I needed to pray for the person. And then I went there and I told the person, I said, healing is the bread of the children. You know what that means? Bread of children. Is there any child, since you have been giving birth to children, has any of your child one day gone out to buy bread with his money before? As in the child now. Imagine Shammas, he is there now. Will now go to where they are selling bread. Or wake up and be thinking, how will I get bread to eat? It means that healing is a free gift that God gives to any man. And I told the person, I said, healing is the bread of the children. And I prayed, I said, Lord, have mercy. By the time I finished praying, another person was asking me, he said, sir, is this just by like that? I will not fast for 21 days. You will not give me fasting. What of anointing oil? You will not give me anything. I should just go, I'm healed. I said, yes, go, you are healed. Is there anything more the person needs? We have been calibrated to think that for God to do for us, we must first do for him. But you don't know that it is the other way around. He will first do for you. It is in the abundance of your receiving that you now begin to give out. Do you know why? That is the reason he created you. And lastly, number three, you were created to be an expression of the love of God. Every man created by God was created not only because God wants to sample his love or because God wants him to internalize his love. Every man created by God is a means to fill the earth with the love of God. Glory to God. So say it with me, I am the representative of God's unfailing love. The Bible says in Habakkuk 2 verse 14, the whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Please, the word glory means God's love compressed in the heart of man, dispatched to the world. You can never see God's glory except on account of his loveliness. That was what I was telling Moses in Genesis 33. You want glory? You are not going to earn it. The people that will do well in ministry, the people that will go far in ministry, the people that will see life transformed and not the people that preach law, are the people that lay the love of God bare before men. Write this down. Man was created to be the administrator of God's loveliness. Man was created. If there ever is anything as a loving God, hear this. That loving God displays his loveliness by men he fills with his love. Many of you talk about spiritual growth. Many of you talk about deep things. There is nothing as deep as the love of God. I came to that realization. We are looking for deep things, deep rhema, deep revelation. We like people sounding very, very deep until God accosted me and made me to realize that the deepest place to be is in the safety of my love for you. Glory to God. The deepest place to be is in the safety of my love for you. Everything you give out, everything you receive, everything you process, you do that because you have come to that understanding that God loves me so much. Stop trying to earn anything from God. You are the administrator. Do you know who an administrator is? An administrator is the one that handles the day-to-day operations of a company. Do you know what it means? It means that a believer on this earth is the administrator of the love of God. It is the process of administrating God's love that requires spiritual growth. And what do we mean by spiritual growth? Spiritual growth is simply coming to the revelation of God's love for who? For you. How do we grow spiritually? We grow spiritually by internalizing the love of God. Ephesians chapter 3. The Bible said in verse 18. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 18. The Bible says that you may have the power to understand as God's people should. Did you see that? As God's people should. Understand what now? How wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. Verse 19. He now said, that you may experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then, everybody say, then you will be made complete. Do you know what that means? Write this down. Your complete is in your experience of the love of God. That's where your completeness is. So you now see why the gospel of the kingdom has to be preached before the end can come. The gospel of the kingdom has to be preached before the kingdom can come. What is the gospel of the kingdom? Gospel means good news. The gospel of the kingdom is the message about God's unfailing love. How he has made his love available for all mankind so that mankind can distribute it. So this is it. The message of God's eternal purpose and plan is number one. For you to understand that in Christ you have been created to be the expression of God's love. Say it with me. I've been created to be the expression of God's love. Number two, in Christ, you have been recreated to be the recipient of God's love. And then number three, you have been created in Christ to be the extension. Now, this is you now carrying this love to your workplace. Life on a mission is a life that knows how to distribute the love of God everywhere it goes. Let me tell you one thing. As a believer, what we get from the job we do is just a reward. Your job cannot pay you. That's the reason why if you don't have understanding of the love of God for your life, you will work for years and the only thing you will acquire is debt. It is the day you come to the realization that my earthly job and vocation is for me to dispense God's love around. Colossians chapter 3. If you start reading from verse 16 down, if you read down, that Colossians, he was talking about how we administrate the love of God. All those things are the administration of God's love. When God's love fills you. And then he now went on to say, servant, if you now read down, he now says, servant, serve your what? Your earthly master. Not as men pleasers. He said, because the ultimate reward will come from God himself. It means, as a man on a mission, my earthly job is just a platform for me to display the love of God. My ultimate reward comes from God himself. That's what he was saying in that Matthew 6. That is the one that pays your bill. There are so many of you looking at me right now. You realize that there were times in your life you were not even working. It was difficult, but you never lack what to eat. Do you know that sometimes it's even those of us that are working that don't eat well? There were times in our life when we were not working. That was when we were eating well. Now we have started working. We are cornering the money. We can't even eat well. That's what the world does. The world changed our mindset. Rather than we seeing ourselves as people that are definitely created by God to lavish his love, we are just there trying to behave like the elder brother of the prodigal son. Father, I've been here all these days. You have not killed goat for me. There are some of us, even when God decides that he will kill goat for us, we'll tell him, God, please keep it, save the money. We need the money for one thing. Because to us, we are like the old man that fell in Eden that had lack consciousness. How many of you know that it was the fall that brought lack consciousness to man? In the realm of the spirit, the Bible calls it riches of your inheritance. Riches. You can't exhaust it. The Lord spoke to me some months ago. He said, the reason why my inheritances are spiritual is because they are inexhaustible. That even if I allow the whole world to live for 1,000 years, they can't exhaust it. And here you are just born again for less than 5 years. You're already becoming tired of serving God. That's because you are like the elder brother of the prodigal son. You are trying to earn. You are trying to merit the reward. I choose to express the love of God. What are the implications of man as the administrator of God's love? It means that your responsibility as a believer who wants to live a life of a mission is to search out the details of God's love for your life. That job you will get, that business you will start, that ministry you will start, they are channels to dispense the love of God. The Bible says something. He said he has made us able minister. The word minister means servant. That's what minister means. To minister means to serve. And that's the reason why Paul was not speaking in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1. He said, even if I speak in tongues, even if my voice sounds like cymbals, and I do not have love, He said, it profits me what? Nothing. Why will it not profit you anything? Because that is you trying to attain the end and ignoring the means. It's not possible. The reason you were born again is so that you will internalize the love of God and express it. It means that there are two types of believers we'll have. Number one, we'll have the set of believers that will want to express God's love without having it. And then we'll have the set of believers that will receive God's love without expressing it. I'll say that again. It means that we can only have two sets of believers. Number one, the set of believers that will receive God's love and not express it. And then the other set of believers that will want to express God's love. They will want to be kind. They will want to be merciful. They will want to be faithful. But they will not want to copy it from God. And the first set are those that you will say they are spiritually born again, but they are not mature. The second set are the ones that you will say, though they are spiritually born again, but they are walking in the flesh. They are living by works. I choose not to be in any of these categories. I am of them that are expressing the love of God. So it means I am not trying to show love to my neighbors because they look lovable. It means I am not trying to display the love of God to people because I want to get a reward from them. It means I am displaying the love of God because freely I have received. Freely I give. How many of you know that the preaching of the gospel is an evidence of God's love? You can't preach a message you don't know. And that's why when we begin to look at times and seasons of purpose, some of you need to take a break from preaching and go and sit down and allow God teach you his love. You need to take a break from choir, from doing drama, from working for God, and sit down and allow God to work in you. When God works in a man, is to reveal his love to that man. You can't preach a gospel and live a life that is opposite. How can you be preaching to people that God is love and you yourself, you cannot love others? That message will be incomplete. So the Bible now told us in Ephesians chapter 4, for us to administrate the love of God, he now gave us ministers. And what will be their work? The Bible says they will not be ministering to us. They will be serving us with love. They will be teaching us with love. That's why sometimes when people begin to say, that pastor, he overloves and all those things. You shouldn't be making that statement if you are a believer. God's love is so bodacious, overwhelming. All that I will get to the peak of God's love. Glory to God. Imagine if we are to live our life the way God himself lives it. Do you think this world will be the way it is? Somehow, we are still dealing with a part of us that was inherited from the Adamic man. That's why we are thinking some people over love. Love cannot be over because that is the nature we carry. When we get to heaven, have you wondered what we are going to be doing in heaven? We are going to be serving one another in love. So we are only doing the practical, the dress rehearsal here on earth. I'll leave you with these scriptures. Matthew chapter 25. We'll start reading from verse 32. Man is to administrate the love of God. The Bible says, and all nations will be gathered in his presence. And he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep at his right hand and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father. Don't forget, I told you, anytime Bible is talking about God giving something to man, he always used the word father. Because he's a father that gives. He now said, inherit kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Verse 35. For I was hungry and you fed me. Now that's the administration of God's love. Praise God. What do we call that? That's the administration of love. That's what it means to serve. Most of you think that the only time you serve is when you preach. Good. The gospel must be preached. But more than your speakings, the gospel must be lived. And that's the living of the gospel. That's not saying you should go and open an NGO and be feeding everybody. That's not what we are saying. We are talking about living your life daily as one that is ready to help the helpless. Living your life daily as one that is ready to clothe the naked. Living your life daily as one that is ready to give food to those that are hungry. Do you know why? He said, for as much as you did this to the least of my brethren, you did it for me. In other words, we were created to administrate God's love. Every one of us, we were created to administrate God's love. I want you to bow down your head wherever you are and begin to say, Lord, make these things clearer. Make these things clearer in my heart. I want to grow in the knowledge of your loveliness. I want to grow in the knowledge of your loveliness. I want to grow in the knowledge of your loveliness. In the name of Jesus. I want to grow. I want to walk in the consciousness of your purpose for my life. For too long, we have concluded that purpose is what we do alone. It's not about what we do. It's about how and why we do it. It's about the reason why we do it. This is the reason why we live. This is the reason why I live. This is the reason why you should live. We live so that we will be the expression of God's loveliness. So can you begin to pray and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. No wonder Pastor Paul prayed that prayer. In Philippians chapter 3 verse 10, he said that I may know him. Knowing God is knowing him at the realm of his suffering. Knowing God is knowing him at the realm of his benevolence. Knowing God is knowing him at the realm of his kindness. If you have not known God as a loving God, some of us, we only know God as a judgmental God. We only know God as a angry God. We only know God as a wicked God. That knowledge is wrong. That is not our God. I have showed you from scripture that God is a benevolent Father. God is a benevolent King. The reason why he created the earth is to reveal his loveliness. That is where the fight is. The enemy is fighting. Is fighting. No wonder when coronavirus came, they were saying that it was God punishing mankind. It is because of ignorance of who God is. That's why we are saying those things. We forget that everything happening on earth is happening because man choose not to walk in love. If man will walk in love, the whole earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Can you go ahead and begin to pray and say, Lord, open my understanding. Open my understanding. Give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of who you are. I want to know you are the realm of your love. And I want to experience your love. Open your mouth and begin to pray and say, Lord, I open my heart to receive your love. It is time for you to collapse your life to pursue this love course. The course of the believer is a love course. The course of the believer is a love course. The church is the abode of God's love. The church is the lab of God's love. The church is the laboratory where God's love is experienced and taught. Are you praying with me? And say, Lord, I come to the knowledge of your love. I want to know your love. I want to walk in love. I want to know your love. I want to walk in love. You can't walk in the spirit without the revelation of the love of God. It is only those that have become full of the spirit. They are those that can walk in the spirit. Go ahead and begin to pray and say, Lord, I come into understanding of your love for me. This is the reason why you created me, to be partaker of your love. The Bible says in the book of Peter, he said, we have received exceeding great promises. In 2 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4, he said he has given us all things that pertains to life and godliness. He said that by these things, we might receive exceeding great promises so that we can be partakers of his nature. And that is the love of God. I want to partake in your love. I want to experience your love. In the name of Jesus, I want to walk in the path of your loveliness. In Jesus' name we pray. Maybe you are listening to me, you are not born again, or maybe you are born again and you are still living in the religious realm, in the realm of legalism. You can go on your knees and begin to ask the Lord to reveal his love in your heart. The Bible says the Spirit of God was given so that it might be love of God in our heart. Say with me, I receive your love. I receive your love. I internalize your love. I embrace your love. Maybe you're already born again. You are growing. Can you still make that prayer known? Make it clear. Make it clearer. And say, Lord, I want to grow in the knowledge of your love. Spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is the growth in the knowledge of the love of God. Christianity is a love walk. Christianity is a love walk. The Bible says in Galatians that it is not circumcision. It is not circumcision that availeth, but faith that worketh itself with love. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. I pray for you that you have an encounter with this love. I pray for you that you will grow in your knowledge of this love. I pray for you that the love of God be shared abroad mightily in your heart, that you will come to the knowledge of this love in the name of Jesus. The love, the Bible says, can be difficult to comprehend, but you will receive power. You will receive the power like all God's children, so that you will understand the love of God in the name of Jesus. Your eyes are open. I strip you of every ungodliness, every wrong thought, every wrong belief. I strip your heart of every wrong belief, every wrong mindset, every legalistic idea, every religious spirit that have made you not to understand who God is, who His love is. I pray right now by the power of the Holy Ghost, you are set free to love in the name of Jesus. And I open you up to the wellspring of overflowing love. God's love shine mightily in your heart in the name of Jesus. You walk in love. You grow in love. You mature in love. Unto a perfect man. Because even when Jesus returns, it is still love we will dispense. So grace is abounding. You abound in all good works. The love of God is shed abroad mightily in your heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we give you thanks. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. We appreciate God for His word. And I want you to take out time, whatever you may have written down, meditate on them, go over them, and engage in prayers, so that three purposes can become a reality in your life. Thank you for taking our time to follow. Thank you for following our truth. And thank you because I'm so sure that that which God has started in your life will be made permanent. Keep taking charge as you walk in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. Oh, I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. You unravel me with a melody, and you surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies, until all my fears are gone. And I'm no
Amazing, guys. Thank y'all.